What's up, everybody? I'm Will Pruitt, and I am here with the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast, and we're going to talk about TNA Impact on September. What was the date yesterday? I should know this already. 22nd, the episode for September 22nd, 2011. It is Friday, September 23rd, 2011. And before we get to the actual show, let's talk about some plugs for the ProWrestling.net membership section. Now, if you like audio, you're listening to a podcast, so I'm going to guess and say you like audio. We've got the ProWrestling.net weekly show. This show, it's Jason Powell and Chris Shore sitting down talking about all the news of the week. In this show, Jason oftentimes breaks first run news. You're not going to read it anywhere else. You're not going to see it anywhere else. It's going to be in this audio that you hear about it. That's worth it to me. That it's a great audio show. Nonetheless, you get Jason and Chris's view on the news. On top of that, another weekly show we do is the .NET Countdown. It's Jake Barnett and myself breaking down the top five and bottom three moments of the week in wrestling. We cover WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor in this, and we will actually be covering Ring of Honor a lot heavier going into this deal with the Sinclair Broadcast Group that starts on Saturday. Now, on top of that, you get Q&As with Jason and Chris. Every week, you get show reviews of Raw, SmackDown, Impact Wrestling, every week in audio form, just jam-packed audio-wise, ProWrestling.net is. That sentence just sounded like Yoda said it. I apologize. And to sign up, you want to head over to ProWrestling.net. On the right side of the page, there's a membership link. Just click that bad boy, and it'll take you straight to our membership section. It's $7.50 if you want to take the monthly rate, or if you want to take the annual rate, it's just $5.50 a month. Trust me, I was a member before I was a staff member for the site. It's well worth the money. It's pretty fantastic. Check out ProWrestling.net and the member section, please. One last plug before we get into the show. Let's talk about the ProWrestling.net app available in the iTunes Store and the Android Marketplace. Fantastic app. Again, it's really the way that I first started getting involved in reading the site. The app's kind of a gateway drug, but if you're on the go a lot, if you know you love standing in grocery store lines or whatever and opening apps on your phone, reading the latest wrestling news, you can't do better than the ProWrestling.net app. It's all the content that's on our free site, and it's in the palm of your hand. It's pretty fantastic. If you don't have one of those phones, you can also on your BlackBerry go to the ProWrestling.net mobile site. And that bad boy will get you all hooked up with your wrestling news. So, without further delay, thank you for putting up with those. Without further delay, let's talk about TNA Impact Wrestling from September 22nd. This show was taped in the Impact Wrestling Zone in Orlando, Florida, and it was show number 3 of a 3-night set of tapings. Actually, show number 4 of a 4-night set of tapings. The first show was No Surrender, and it was the 3 episodes of Impact Wrestling that followed it. And show opened with a video package to focus on Hogan and Sting. Sting came to the ring, and we were about to get our talk-a-thon to start TNA Impact, as we usually do. And Sting had a Bound for Glory contract with him. It looked like all of TNA's contracts had that little Impact Wrestling logo up at the top. And probably said Sting, Hulk Hogan, Bound for Glory in big letters that I'm guessing are in Arial font. Really, TNA? Use Helvetica. Man up and use Helvetica. Moving on. Hogan. He called out Hulk Hogan. Hogan came to the ring. And he told Sting, hey, man, you want to do this, man? I'm not medically cleared to wrestle. Which Sting said, you know, that's BS. And showed a video package of Hulk Hogan beating up Sting, which was beautiful. And Sting said that's proof that Hogan has still got it. Yeah, sure he does. Hogan said it's time to stop playing games, said he has nothing to prove, brother. Then he added that Sting's been chasing him for his entire career, never quite caught up. Sting told Hogan to forget about Bound for Glory and have the match on the spot instead. Hogan begged off. Eric Bischoff's music hit. Eric Bischoff has his own music. I didn't know that. I don't know. Maybe I just haven't been paying attention, but I always thought that Bischoff just used the Immortal theme. You know, that really generic, almost NWO. But no, apparently Bischoff has his own music. Oh, side note about graphical stuff, too. Has anyone noticed that Hulk Hogan's like video wall when he comes out says, "I am that I am"? Is Hulk Hogan now God from the Book of Exodus? Like, what the hell? What? Seriously. Is Hulk Hogan the burning bush? Is that the idea? I don't understand how that works. I mean, I think some of the using religious nicknames in wrestling is pretty silly, like the whole King of Kings thing that Triple H does, but Hulk Hogan's video wall just saying, "I am that I am." What the hell, dude? Give it up. Give it the hell up, Hulk Hogan. You're done. Anyways, Eric Bischoff said, "Hogan's the reason this industry exists, and Hogan's the reason you have a job." Okay, I'm okay with that being said to a younger guy. You know, you say that to Bobby Roode, and it's like, well, yeah, kind of is. Hogan's probably the dude who got him watching the business in the first place and got him into it. But you say that to Sting, who was on the national scene when Hulkamania was running wild. I don't know that he's the reason Sting has a job. He's the reason Sting turned into the Crow gimmick and extended his career probably 10, 15 years longer than it should have gone. But that is what it is. Much as Hulk Hogan apparently is what he is. And then Sting looked at him and said, "Did you say something?" and punched Bischoff. Sting said there was a match between the two at Bound for Glory, no matter what. Overall, a good segment. It got, you know, it established Hulk Hogan's the heel that doesn't want to get into the ring. Sting is the babyface saying, "I earned this shot and I'm going to get it." I don't love that it looks like they're going forward with Hogan versus Sting at Bound for Glory. I am not excited to see that match at all. But if they are going forward with it, not a bad segment to build into what that rivalry will become in the next couple weeks. Now, that said, and Jason Powell pointed this out. By the way, if you want to follow along with me in this report, hit up Jason Powell's live coverage on ProWrestling.net, because that's what I'm using as an outline and stealing some jokes from. Jason Powell said he doesn't see why Hulk Hogan is the heel instead of the babyface reluctantly being forced to get back into the ring. Now, my only justification for that is if you look at who can work heel better, if it's Sting or if it's Hulk Hogan, well, Hulk Hogan can work heel a lot better. Also, if Hulk Hogan goes into this match as the heel or as the babyface, how's Sting supposed to get heat on him? Hulk Hogan can't take bumps. Sting can't take good bumps, but Hulk Hogan can't take bumps altogether. So as, you know, if he goes in as a heel, he has to take maybe one or two bumps. They're going to be easy ones, and he can go down, and he can still get heat on Sting. So I see why, as far as match quality goes, Hogan doesn't have to work quite as hard because he is working heel. Not that all heels are lazy, because they are. Anyways, backstage we had Karen Jarrett talking to Miss Tessmacher, Tracy Brooks, and Mickie James. And Mickie James's face looks like she got some awful Botox. Oh my gosh. It looks ridiculous. Like, she seriously really looked bad on this show. I mean, HD is not being friendly to her. Her face does not look good. And I know I might get some hate mail from people going, "Mickie James is beautiful. You're a jerk just like Michelle McCool." And, well, I am a jerk, but not like Michelle McCool. And I'm not saying she's not a good-looking girl most of the time. I'm saying on this show, it looked like she just came from some facial paralysis that did not do her good at all. Anyways, Karen Jarrett was talking about the Queen's qualifier match between the two that was up next and told Miss Tessmacher, "None of that stripping ho stuff you do." And I'm continuing to enjoy this Karen Jarrett character because it's just funny. And people will go, you know, I know people will say, "But you don't enjoy it when, you know, you think it's sexist when one character is calling another a hoe and all this." It's a little bit more okay when Karen does it because Karen's a heel. And heels are, it's okay to insult someone as a heel because you're basically saying this is not an honorable person or an honorable character and they are doing things wrong because they lack honor. It's different than babyface Jerry Lawler, an honorable guy, a stand-up guy, someone that we're supposed to believe in and have sympathy for and think is a legend, going, "Hey, fat Vicky Guerrero, yeah, you're fat." So, you know, that's the difference there, in case you were wondering. But then Karen turns to Tracy Brooks and says, "I thought you were supposed to cover those things up." And Tracy literally, it's almost funny how big those are. And it's funny, these shirts that she wears, because it's like a t-shirt that you just cut the boob section out of. Like, that's what she's rocking. And it looks ridiculous. And, you know, Tracy was like, I think they look good. And then Kazarian showed up and said, hey, you're running a whorehouse, Karen Jarrett. You're dressed like a madam. Bah-ha-ha. And Karen walked away all frustrated. And yeah, Kazarian, stand up for your wife. Stand up for your wife that slept with Eric Bischoff and admitted it on TV. That slept with him 3 times. You stand up for that wife, Frankie Kazarian. Way to go, TNA. That's some good plot hole you got going on. So, yeah, kind of weird. And then we got our first match of the night, which was Mickie James against Miss Tessmacher in a Queens qualifier in 2 minutes and 45 seconds, and Mickie James won this one. I wasn't all that impressed with the match itself. The finish came with Mickie James getting that Mickie James-style DDT and the pin, and then shook hands with Miss Tessmacher after the match, and it's weird to see a babyface versus babyface match go under 3 minutes. I feel like that's a bad call. Mostly just because it's babyface versus babyface, and they should be pretty evenly matched, and it's strange to watch, you know, a match like that go so short. But, and then we saw highlights from earlier in the day. Mexican America, Anarchia was talking, and he was saying, man, I want a tattoo for Mexican America that says nada es imposible. Oh, let's do it. And they were going to go down the street to the local tattoo parlor. Why? Did this get put on a wrestling show? God only knows. But it was there. They got into a kind of cool looking lowrider truck. And, you know, it's more Mexican stereotypes, of course, but I can't really get mad about them using that one because Eddie Guerrero used that one like you would not believe. Weekly. So you probably would believe it because you probably watched it. Anyways. Yeah, Mexican America. Going to a tattoo parlor. This is going to turn out so well. You just wait for it, folks. Then backstage we saw Al Snow talking to Jeff Hardy saying, everyone makes mistakes, Jeff. You just have to not make them again. And he appreciates that Jeff is trying to make amends. And then he said, Jeff, if you want to do it, start at the top and work your way down, man. That, I just think randomly apologizing to people works just as well, but that's chill. The weird thing was, then you had Mike Tenay going, Jeff Hardy being confronted by Impact Wrestling agent Al Snow. Hold up, wait a minute. What does an agent do? In the context of the TV show, what does an agent do? And we've had them mention Agent D'Lo Brown and Agent Al Snow before. What do agents do? I know that they help wrestlers put together matches and come up with finishes and lay things out. I know that from a wrestling, you know, from an insider standpoint. But if I'm watching the show and I see retired wrestler Al Snow as an agent, what is he doing? Like, what is the point of Al Snow being there? Well, obviously he's not helping wrestlers lay out matches because in this kayfabe world, matches are not predetermined and they are not laid out ahead of time. So I just think that you can say, you know, Impact Wrestling legend, you can, you know, just wrestling legend, wrestling veteran, you know, on the road coach even, if you want to go with something like that. If you want to say, you know, he coaches some of the wrestlers, helps them out, he's, you know, go with that. But Impact Wrestling agent? This segment wasn't good enough to not leave off the show. It wasn't so bad that I would say it needs to be cut from the show, but it wasn't good enough to go, oh yeah, that's worth not leaving off. So, yeah, I was not a fan of that bad boy. Then we got our second match of the night, and we went to commercial. We came back, and Jesse Sorensen was in the ring, football in hand. And Austin Aries made his way to the ring, and this match was Austin Aries defeating Jesse Sorensen to retain the X Division title in 4 minutes and 25 seconds. This one was kind of awkward. I wasn't a huge fan of it. I didn't like how it was presented in the first place. Jesse Sorensen is getting an X Division title shot. He's not your X Division main eventer, but the dude is getting an X Division title shot. So you need to put it over like an X Division title shot, like a big deal, like something important, like something that you are not going to see every day. Maybe give Sorensen an entrance. Let him walk around with that little football he always has. Maybe have the announcers talk about it for a little bit beforehand. Even if you want to throw down their silly little X-Factor gimmick that they do at pay-per-views and do it for this because it is an X-Division title match, I think that is absolutely fine. Then we get into the match, and it was an okay match. Sorensen got some great high spots in. Aries looked fantastic, as Austin Aries usually does. He's a good wrestler. But we had Kid Cash coming down to the ring, and Cash has been feuding with Sorensen, and it looks like that's going to continue. Cash took the football, and Cash walked to ringside, ended up with that football. Jason Powell was pretty upset about it. I mean, I know he really buys into this whole quarterback from Texas gimmick that the Jesse Sorensen has going, and it's going to hurt him that football, the way it was used tonight, because it's just not exactly what you want to do. But Cash shoved the football into Sorensen's gut, stared at him, and backed away. Sorensen threw the ball at Cash, hitting him in the back, and at that point, actually landed more receiving yards than Donovan McNabb probably will all season. Yeah, I just stole your joke, Jason, but it's funnier because I'm not a Vikings fan who has to suffer through it. Yeah. Anyways, Aries took advantage of the distraction, drop kicking Sorensen from behind and pinning him after the drop kick. And the match could have done without Cash being out there. You could have found a different way to tell that story, even afterwards having Cash go and beat down Sorensen after the match. I also think the match could have done with a little more time, a little more presentation. TNA can say all they want. They want to rebuild the X Division and pay that lip service to it like they always do. But there comes a certain moment where they have to go, you know what? No, we're going to put our money where our mouth is. We're going to make the X Division important. And when you have an X Division title match on free television, the way that they did this week, you make it feel like a big deal. Hell, why can't the X Division title main event Impact? I mean, it's not a fan, you know, it's not Kurt Angle versus Sting, but they've shown they're pretty much going to get the same ratings no matter what they do. Screw it. X Division title in the main event of Impact. Make that pull that off every month and a half, maybe every 2 months, have an X Division title match built to main event a semi-major episode of Impact. It'll draw. It'll make the X Division title look more important, and you know, TNA maybe can give Sting the night off in the ring for once. We then went backstage to Mr. Anderson and a possibly inebriated Rob Van Dam. And they talked about their tag match against Jerry Lynn and Bully Ray, and that was basically it. Then Mike Tenay announced that tonight RVD versus Lynn and Anderson versus Bully Ray will happen at Bound for Glory. I like making matches for Bound for Glory. I think this is the time to do it. It's the time to announce them, and these matches are logical, so that is what it is. Then we got Mexican America rocking that tattoo parlor. And the artist had drawn the tattoo on Anarquia's chest and was like, and you know, Anarquia, like he does, was all loud and like, yeah, let's do this. I'm getting a tattoo, y'all. And then the regular artist was like, I actually have another appointment. I'm going to turn you over to someone else. And she left, and the replacement was supposed to come in. Then we got Anarquia going, Hernandez, man, I'm afraid of needles. I need you to pray with me, brother. And he made Hernandez get down on one knee and pray with him. And then, after they were done praying, Ink was there and attacked him. Neil put Hernandez through a table and asked him, who the bitch is now? And then it kept going. And then they ended up putting Anarquia in the chair to give him a tattoo. I mean, this, I'm not describing it as long enough. It kept going. They went all over the room. I mean, it got crazy face in not a good way. And in the end, they put Anarquia in a chair to give him a tattoo, and they told the cameraman that he didn't get to see it. And you heard Anarquia kind of screaming in the background. It was a bad segment, and I guess Ink is now feuding with Mexican America because Anarquia wanted a tattoo, and that's their gimmick. That's the explanation I have. Now, I will say that, you know, they were feuding before, and Jessie Neal got hurt by Hernandez, so maybe that's the idea, but there are better ways to explain that than just attacked in a tattoo parlor. So, I mean, I basically just said why they are feuding and why it looks like they're feuding, but if I'm a guy who hasn't been watching TNA or has watched sporadically for a few months, I'm not going to remember that. Hell, if I'm a guy who doesn't think about wrestling more than a person should, which I do, I'm not going to remember that. And then we went backstage, and Matt Morgan pulled Jeff Hardy inside a room and chewed him out for his actions. Hardy was walking around looking for Angle, and Matt Morgan said, you know what? I'm an addict. I'm a painkiller addict. I've been sober for, I want to say it was like 4 years, 10 months, and 17 days or something like that. All of those numbers were involved. And the 4 years is correct. But basically, Morgan said, I've been through addiction. And it was powerful. I mean, it was really powerful stuff. And said, you have a chance to be one of the best stories this business has ever seen. You have a chance for redemption here. Do not mess it up. You're getting a second chance. You're getting one more chance right now. But you're not going to get one more chance one more time. Damn. Good, intense stuff from Morgan. I was impressed by this. It was really pretty good. I mean, this is the kind of good stuff we're getting out of this Jeff Hardy angle. The bad's coming up. Or the bad with some of the Al Snow stuff. But then backstage we saw Rob Van Dam lying in a heap on the floor with a chair on his face. And someone called for a trainer to help him. Does RVD just not like actually getting beat down backstage? I mean, I'm just thinking back to a little over a year ago when he was found covered in blood after Abyss attacked him with Janice. And now, again, he's found backstage. I mean, this dude gets attacked backstage when no cameras are around a whole lot. If I were RVD, I would make better friends with the cameraman. That's all I'm going to say. Maybe share some of that substance that he enjoys with them. And then Hardy spoke with Kurt Angle. This one was funny. And why was it funny? Hardy's sitting there talking addiction and apologies with a pain pill addict who just got a DUI and has gotten multiple while he's been in TNA. And he's sitting there talking to him. And at least I'm glad that they didn't go the route of having Angle go, you can't show up to pay-per-views like that, because I can think of more than one glassy-eyed Kurt Angle pay-per-view appearance. I'm really glad they didn't go the route of Kurt Angle saying, you know, what you did was wrong and it was bad for business because, I'm sorry, your champion getting a DUI is much worse for business. But they went the route of basically Angle as the heel going, you know, I'm a champion, I don't, you know, I'm this, I can judge you. And Angle said he didn't want him there. And Hardy said, you don't want me here because I'm your biggest threat. And, you know, the thing I enjoyed about this is it plays up on the Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle feud from No Surrender and going into Bound for Glory last year, where the two just had a phenomenal match in No Surrender last year, and it ended in a draw. And then the two had a pretty decent match on Impact that also ended in a draw. They are quality opponents for each other. They put on good matches. And yeah, when Jeff Hardy's stepping back in the ring, I think Kurt Angle would be a good first opponent for him. Even a good third or fourth opponent once Hardy has his sea legs under him. So yeah, this was weird. This was really weird. I mean, you know, Angle never quite looks all there. His eyes are never quite not glassy. But yeah, kind of a strange segment. Then Kurt Angle came to the ring in street clothes and invited Bobby Roode out to talk to him. Roode made his entrance and the show cut to commercial. I liked this. I liked it because they said, we're going to get the confrontation between Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode up next. They built anticipation for it. I mean, theoretically, gave you a chance to call up your buddy and go, you know, this no one does this. But in theory, gave you a chance to call up your buddy and go, dude, Roode and Angle, face to face, turn on Spike TV, brother! Of course, no one does that, like I said, but yeah, it's possible. Not likely, but it's totally possible. I mean, people own phones. That makes it possible, man. Anyways, Angle praised Roode for beating Kazarian last week and said tonight will be different when he faces Daniels because Daniels isn't going to follow the rules. And then Roode told Angle that nothing and nobody is going to prevent him from leaving Bound for Glory with the TNA title. Hill said he knows a man who stands in Rude's way, who might be his, the best friend he has in the business. And then the beer money hit. The beer money music hit, not beer money on the ground. The beer money music hit. James Storm came to the ring and got in Bobby Roode's face. And the Storm assumed, he was like, I know what you're thinking, man. You're thinking Immortal bought me out. You're thinking that Immortal came and convinced me. You're thinking that I'm upset. And, you know, then the Storm says Roode knows him and he knows he makes his own rules. Said he's not there to get into it with Roode, and turned around, said he was there for Angle, who looked a little bit upset and was like, but we talked about this, man. We talked about it. Roode said that since Angle has all the stroke, he can get on his knees and stroke his beer bottle, and he held the beer bottle in his penile region. A little juvenile, but yeah, it happens. Storm challenged Angle to a match tonight. Angle said Storm was out of his mind if he thinks he's going to show him up. Storm said Angle always likes a challenge and he should go to the back and get his gear on. And then he said, sorry about your damn luck. I like this a lot. I like that they're putting Storm in there with Roode and Angle and making Storm look like a major star. Storm isn't on the outskirts. Skirt isn't playing Marty Jannetty right now. Storm is actively involved with his tag partner and actively involved with what's going on. I like that Roode hasn't had to cut that big impassioned money promo yet. I think you save that for your final week before Bound for Glory. Because we know Storm's capable of it. Storm cut awesome, awesome promos on Hulk Hogan. I want to say it was back around lockdown. And that's when I think, or not so Roode, I apologize. Roode cut awesome promos on Hulk Hogan around lockdown. And I want to say that's when TNA decided we're going with Roode at Bound for Glory. I really feel like that's when TNA decided that that was the way they were going with things. And it's a good call. So Roode cut a quality little promo here. But he hasn't had to cut the big money. I'm fired up. I'm impassioned. And I'm about to rip some heads off. It's my time. Promo that he will need to cut and is perfectly capable of cutting. And James Storm is still cutting great promos here, and he's the better promo of the two, but James Storm is still cutting great promos here to make up for the fact that Roode's not doing that. I love it. Just another week, another really good dose of build with Roode and Angle. Angle's out there saying, oh yeah, this one's going to be match of the year. Dude, you said that about your match with Sting. So, I'm not expecting match of the year out of him, but maybe TNA match of the year. I'm expecting a damn good match out of Roode and Storm, or out of Roode and Angle. And I hope that when it's all said and done, when it plays out, that we get Bobby Roode leaving with the championship. It seems built for that, and I just hope that Vince Russo doesn't go, you know what they'll never see coming, bro? They will never see Angle retaining coming. Man, they'll never see that coming, bro. All right. I hope that Vince Russo doesn't walk down that road. So then we got Bully Ray and Jerry Lynn defeating Mr. Anderson in a handicap match because Rob Van Dam got stoned underneath some chairs in 6 minutes and 5 seconds. They said that RVD wasn't medically cleared for this match. And this was the second point of the show, where they showed TNA airing questions and answers that they're asking on Twitter. And I think a lot of, especially wrestling right now, is dealing with how do they integrate Twitter? How do they want to use it. There's a vibrant wrestling community on Twitter. How do they integrate it into their product? And they're looking at WWE and the way that they're doing it and really failing at doing it, going, we're trending! Oh my god, we're trending! I mean, I could imagine Jim Ross going, CM Punk! CM Punk! CM Punk is trending on Twitter! Oh, and he's not world champion anymore. That too. So they're trying something different. And I like it. I think it's better, but it's still not all the way there. Jerry Lynn. Who is Jerry Lynn? I know who he is, but who is Jerry Lynn? If I'm your average TNA viewer, who's Jerry Lynn? Is he, he's a legend. Yeah. He's He was in that company that we can't say the name of, and he had some matches with Rob Van Dam that we can't show you, but we assure you they were pretty damn good. Cool. That's all great. I mean, that's great information to have, but who is Jerry Lynn? Again, someone? Anyone? Can you tell me? No. No, you can't. Because you don't know. Fans don't know. TNA isn't telling people. I mean, they have footage of Jerry Lynn that's newer. They have the 2002 era that he was in TNA. Replay some of that. Make us a video package. I mean, simple 3-minute video package saying who Jerry Lynn is. Interviews with AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, those exhibition guys who were there at the time going, Jerry Lynn built this division. Jerry Lynn pioneered this company. Jerry Lynn is a true groundbreaking wrestler. Tell us that. Tell us why Jerry Lynn is important instead of just going, oh yeah, he's this new heel teaming with this guy sometimes. Yeah, Jerry Lynn, woo, he hates Rob Van Dam. You can do better than that. But this handicap match was okay. There was some logic. Anderson didn't win, which I enjoyed. And Anderson looked good in defeat, which I also enjoyed. Yeah, then we went backstage. I was trying to think if I had more to say about that, and there really isn't much more to say. And I'm sorry if you were hearing the beeping sounds of someone backing up outside of my apartment. Screw those guys, right? Know what I'm saying? Backstage, Shane Storm said he is happy for Bobby Roode winning the Bound for Glory series. Said that just because he didn't win doesn't mean he's not going to stir up trouble. Said Kurt Angle is a big fish and told him to get out of my pond, boy. Once again, James Storm's a good promo. This was proof. Short little 1-2-minute thing that he blew out of the water. Just fantastic. Then we had Christopher Daniels coming to the ring and said he would not be wrestling Bobby Roode. Said it's not because they're both members of Fortune. He said it would be a great match, a ratings run, a show stealer. However, said he has nothing left to prove because he beat AJ Styles. AJ Styles came out and bickered. Styles told Daniels to keep living inside the wrestling bubble. Styles said that if he keeps bringing up his name, they may have another match. Daniels recalled saying it was going to be his last match, their last match. Styles slapped the mic and said no more. Daniels said, wow, AJ, I didn't know you were such a sore loser. And a bitch. And Styles turned around and went after Daniels. Security ran after him. And tried to pull him apart. And Styles charged to Daniels one more time. Yeah, I have words. They're going to come out of my mouth. It's going to happen. So, Daniels looked good here, and then we came back from the commercial break, and they were still brawling. And security was nowhere to be found, so I guess they were like, oh, you guys do want to fight? Oh, well, then we'll just let you go. And they brawled through the Direct Auto Insurance booth. How much is Direct Auto Insurance paying TNA? Really, how much are they paying them for the direct impact of the night and Direct Auto Insurance and Impact Wrestling? Present No Surrender. All of this Direct Auto Insurance talk is obnoxious. I mean, it's just tacky. It would be like, you know, WWE has their kind of sponsored Slam of the Nights. You know, it's a Skittles Slam of the Night or Skittles Taste the Rainbow, all that stuff. But they don't go, this main event brought to you by Snickers is for. I mean, that stuff is ridiculous to me. And I know UFC does it with Bud Light, and that's fine. They can, you know, they're different. So, yeah, this brawl ended. Kazarian came out, separated them, looked like he had peace between them, and was like, it's family, we're a family, what are you doing, we're family. Kazarian obviously doesn't care about his actual family, his wife, and banging Eric Bischoff, but man, he is pissed about AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels fighting like you would not believe. And once they were separated and they looked calm, Daniels came and kicked Styles in the balls, and Kazarian tended to Styles. Okay, it's fine. Backstage, Angle and Scott Steiner cut a promo. Angle said he's been training his ass off, and Steiner is his trainer. And then Steiner said Angle is going to kick Storm's ass, and that Angle is the greatest of all time. I don't buy into Angle as the greatest of all time. I know TNA likes to push it that way, and they should build him that way right now if Bobby Roode is about to beat him. But, you know, Roode said it earlier. Steiner said it here. I think, yes, Angle was a great tech or is a great technical wrestler, but I just don't buy him as the best wrestler of all time. The best professional wrestler of all time. I can't. I won't. Then Backstage, Kazarian scolded Daniels for kicking Styles in the balls, and Daniels said he was tired of being in AJ's shadows. Then in another area of backstage, Styles was holding on to his balls. Said Daniels showed his true colors. Kazarian told Styles to be the bigger man, talked about fortune and floating, and it looked like Styles threw up in a trash can because of his balls. Okay. Then backstage, Hulk Hogan told Eric Bischoff he's going to drop a bombshell that next week that will change this business forever. So, originally taped on this show was I think it was an in-ring segment where Hulk Hogan said, I'm going to make an announcement and y'all want to come out to Knoxville, Tennessee to our Impact taping, so watch it. Ironically enough, the show would have aired on this Thursday night when the taping would have been the Wednesday before. So I think they edited that out and just went with the drop a bombshell that'll change the business and didn't have Hulk Hogan cut the babyface promo about how good his career's been and how much he's loved it and how much it's going to hurt to see it end. And I like that. I like that they taped that route but decided not to go that route. Then we got introductions for the main event with Jeremy Borash delivering them in the ring, which is sponsored by Direct Auto Insurance. And Kurt Angle fought James Storm to a no contest in 12:30. In this match, you had a Storm, basically traded punches. Storm went for the Eye of the Storm. Angle slipped out. Gunner ran out, distracted Storm, who took the angle slam. Kurt went for a cover, but Storm kicked out for a nice pop. Boom. Storm just kicked out of the angle slam. That's awesome. Now, were it me, and I'm thinking of conservation, I'm thinking of, you know, how can we get the most out of this? I don't have Storm kick out of the Eye of the Storm or kick out of the angle slam. I don't have the angle slam happen there. I have another convincing near fall, but not the angle slam, because I don't have anyone kick out of the angle slam until Bobby Roode does it at Bound for Glory. You've got to save your spots. I think you've got to conserve a little bit. You've got to save your spots. Same thing. Storm super kicked Angle and went for a cover, and the ref was out. He got the visual pinfall. Fans were counting to 17 or something. Second ref came out, but Gunner pulled out the second ref, and were this WWE, Gunner would have just been fined $250,000. But sadly, TNA will probably never pay him anything close to that because they can't afford it. That's Sting money right there. And then Gunner entered the ring, hit Storm with the title belt. Bobby Roode ran out and cleared Gunner from the ring. Fans chanted Bobby. Bobby picked up the TNA title belt, looked at it, Angle recovered and glared at Roode, who held the belt up, and the beer money theme played. That's how TNA Impact Wrestling went off the air this week. Good match between Angle and Storm. I like giving Storm the visual pinfall, but I also like that Storm did not get the win here. Why? Because Kurt Angle should job clean to one person in the next 2 months. And that one person is Bobby Roode. That is the only person that Kurt Angle should be jobbing clean to. No one else should be able to get him to job clean. Hell, I say in the next 6 months, he jobs to Bobby Roode, you build him back up, then maybe you have him job to James Storm. But Kurt Angle's the kind of guy who has rub to give when he wants to give it. But you have to choose where and how you get that rub. Dirty. Anyways, good ending. Again, focused on Roode versus Angle, continued that feud, got Storm and Angle out there as a good main event. And I would like to see, you know, Jason Powell mentioned seeing Gunner versus Storm on Impact or Bound for Glory. Sounds decent for Bound for Glory. I hope you put Storm over. Then you put Roode over and you give a big beer money celebration at the end of the show and you resist the temptation to break up James Storm and Robert Roode and you just let them have their freaking moment. Why can't they have their moment? Anyways, this was a good edition of Impact. I really enjoyed it. It added weak points. I thought the exhibition title presentation was bad. I thought, you know, I don't like what they're doing with Jerry Lynn right now. Mexican America bugs the hell out of me. But, and the Knockouts division just isn't doing anything special. Mickie James looked weird. But I like this edition of Impact. I thought there was a lot more positive than negative. It's the second week in a row that I'm walking away from the show with an overall positive impression, and that's a big deal. For me, that's a really big deal, because I haven't walked away positive from 2 weeks in a row of Impact Wrestling in a long, long time. TNA seems to be heating up on the road for Bound for Glory, and they really need to do so. And for all of your Bound for Glory needs, come on over to ProWrestling.net. We're going to have that show covered like white on rye. I don't know. How do you cover things in a in an effective way. Like fabric on cushions and pillows. We're going to cover that show. Yeah, that was bad. Sorry, I looked at cushions and pillows in my apartment. Not my fault. But the main stories are going. They're going well. I like that the card for Bound for Glory looks good. What worries me is that it's a lot of rematches. And this is their biggest show of the year. You've got Styles and Daniels, Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn, and Anderson versus Bully Ray that are all rematches happening here. Now, that's not a bad thing if they are blow-off matches. But if they're just chapters in the feud, if they're continuations, if they're segments that are going to be the middle and not the end, you don't want to do it on Bound for Glory. Bound for Glory should be the pay-per-view where things begin and end. That should be what's happening here. Feuds should start, feuds should end. But they should not be continued. You know, I don't think if you do those matches again in December or in November, that the Bound for Glory will be as consequential as it should be in the long run. And that's an issue. So, anyways, that's all I've got as far as the TNA review for today. Once again, please, please check out the ProWrestling.net member site. Live right now is my Pruitt's Pause on this show. Jason Powell's blog on booking The Rock and John Cena at Survivor Series with an NWO twist. Good blog. Good blog. It's a, you know, kind of a how I'd book it type of thing and how, and it bases things off of the direction that it looks like WWE is going in. Strong, strong read. The last addition to the Wrestling Revolution project and all of that action. Check it out, guys. Check out ProWrestling.net. Check out the app. And please check out the member site if you've enjoyed this audio. Again, I do this weekly for the .NET members. You also get Raw, SmackDown, .NET Weekly, the .NET Countdown, and Q&As with both Jason Powell and Chris Shore, plus pay-per-view reviews and all of that. So check it out. And thank you all for listening to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. And have a great day and weekend.